feeling that the top of your head has been opened and icicles have been pounded into your brain, said William. Good Mountain blinked. Yeah, okay, that too, he said, mopping his forehead. You've got away with words right enough. A shadow appeared in the doorway. Good Mountain grabbed his axe. William groaned. It was Vimes. Worse, he was smiling in a humourless, predatory way.
Ah, Mr. De Word, he said, stepping inside. There are several thousand dogs stampeding through the city at the moment. This is an interesting fact, isn't it?
He leaned against the wall and produced a cigar.
Well, I say dogs, he said, striking a match on Good Mountain's helmet. Mostly dogs, perhaps I should say. Some cats. More cats now, in fact, because, ha, there's nothing like a tidal wave of dogs fighting and biting and howling to sort of, how can I put it, give a city a certain busyness, especially underfoot, because, did I mention it, they're very nervous dogs too. Oh, and did I mention cattle?
He went on conversationally.
You know how it is. Market day and so on. People are driving the cows and, my goodness, round the corner comes a wall of wailing dogs. Oh, and I forgot about the sheep. And the chickens. Although I imagine there's not much left of the chickens now.
He stared at William.
Anything you feel you want to tell me, he said.
We had a bit of a problem.
Never. Really? Do tell.
The dogs took fright when Mr. Shriek took a picture of them, said William. This was absolutely true. Dark light was frightening enough, even if you knew what was happening. Vimes glared at Otto, who looked miserably at his feet.
"Well, now," said Vimes. "Shall I tell you something? They're electing a new patrician today."
"Who?" said William.
"I don't know," said Vimes.
Saccharissa blew her nose and said, "It'll be Mr. Scrope of the Shoemakers and Leatherworkers." Vimes gave William a suspicious look.
"How do you know that?" he said.
"Everyone knows," said Saccharissa. "That's what the young man in the bakery said this morning."
Oh, where would we be without rumour, said Vimes. So this is not a day, Mr. De Word, for things to go wrong. My men are talking to some of the people who brought dogs along. Not many of them, I have to admit. Most of them don't want to talk to their watch. Can't think why, we're very good listeners. Now, is there anything you want to tell me?
Vimes looked around the room and back to William.
Everyone's staring at you, I notice.
The Times does not need any help from the watch, said William.
Helping wasn't what I had in mind. We haven't done anything wrong. I'll decide that.
Really? That's an interesting point of view.
Vimes glanced down. William had taken his notebook out of his pocket. Oh, he said. I see.
He reached down to his own belt and pulled out a blunt, dark length of wood.
You know what this is, he said. It's a truncheon, said William. A big stick. Always the last resort, eh?
Said Vimes evenly.
Rosewood and Llamados silver. A lovely piece of work. And it says on this little plate here that I'm supposed to keep the peace, and you, Mr. De Word, don't look like part of that right now.
They locked gazes.
What was the odd thing Lord Vetinari did just before the accident? Said William, so quietly that probably only Vimes heard it.
Vimes didn't even blink, but after a moment he laid the truncheon down on the desk with a click that sounded unnaturally loud in the silence.
"Now you put your notebook down, lad," he suggested in a quiet voice. "That way it's just me and you. No clash of cymbals."
This time William could see where the path of wisdom lay. He put down the book.
"Right," said Vimes. "And now you and me are going to go over to the corner there while your friends tidy up. Amazing, isn't it? How much furniture can get broken just by taking a picture?"
He went and sat down on an upturned washtub. William made do with a rocking horse.
"All right, Mr. De Word, we'll do this your way," said Vimes. "I didn't know I had a way. You're not going to tell me what you know, are you?"
"I'm not sure what I know," said William,
"but I think Lord Vetinari did something remarkable not long before the crime."
Vimes pulled out his own notebook and thumbed through it.
"He entered the palace by the stables some time before 7 o'clock and dismissed the guard," he said. "He'd been out all night."
Vimes shrugged.
"His lordship comes and goes. The guards don't ask him where and why. Have they been talking to you?"
William was ready for the question. He just didn't have an answer. But the palace guard, insofar as he'd met them, weren't men chosen for imagination or flair,